We are in our blessing call on March 7th, 2019. And I started this call without recording it, but we were really being very, very basic. And I'll start over again. I just ask everyone to be in their heart and contemplate the spirit of gratitude on what it feels like to receive a blessing. And the really important point I was leading to is that we don't always recognize a blessing coming our way when it's in the early stages of being what it will be. Just as we would not recognize a butterfly looking at a caterpillar and know that that caterpillar someday would be a butterfly. I think you may remember your days in school when the teacher would present a subject you weren't interested in. Maybe you actually were more than not interested. You might have just really hated it. But you had to do it because it was school. And if your teacher was really good at opening up your young mind to receiving what was being taught, you would find something in that that you liked. Maybe not all of it, but something. And once you found something in it that you liked and you were able to receive, that would become the pathway through which you would begin to learn the other parts of the subject. And you still may not like care to know the life of Louis XIV, but you might have found some interest in other parts of European history that you followed up on later in life when you traveled over to Europe. You see, blessings don't always come to us just exactly the way we ask them to. They come to us because we have an empty spot in our life that needs to be filled. It's about as simple as that. Usually, not always, but usually the troubles we have come because of some empty spot that hasn't been filled correctly. Simple everyday example, we're hungry and we don't want to take the time to get something truly nourishing and beneficial. So we eat potato chips or drink a Coke. And then all of a sudden we notice we're putting on a little too much weight, or maybe we're having a little bit of indigestion or something else. In other words, we have empty spots in our life, including relationships. We really are hungering for a best friend or a sweetheart, or the best teacher ever, or the best job ever. We can't find what we're looking for, so we take the next best, or we maybe take way below the next best. And then we wonder why we start having problems. And we say, I just can't ever have a good relationship. Oh, it never works out for me. Or I just can't ever have a good job. It doesn't work out for me. Okay. You need to go back to the place where you were hungry and where there was an empty place in your life and you're open and ready to receive. Because what happens invariably, and to use diet as an example, if we fill the empty space with the wrong thing, we start saying, I've got to go on a diet. I've got to start shutting down. I go out socially and I meet all the wrong people. I'm not going out socially anymore. You see, we all do that. In other words, when we've got a little bit of history of filling the empty spaces with things that don't satisfy our desire or our need, we start emptying those spaces again. But I'm going to give you a little secret right now. Those spaces are still empty. Because the wrong thing can never fill those spaces. You just have to step aside. Just step aside. And bless those things you filled into the empty spaces that weren't right. Just say, okay, thank you, potato chips. Thank you, Johnny, Sarah, and Louise were nice people, but not the ones I really wanted. Thank you. I'm glad I got to know you. I'm going to go over here and look for ways to fill that empty space with exactly the one I'm looking for. You may live in a town that's not satisfying your needs, and you feel stuck there because you can't sell your home in this market. You can't rent it because you won't make enough to pay the mortgage. But you can do something with it. You just have to get a little bit creative, a little more creative than you thought you could be, and then start thinking of ways to find out what would have made you happy. Maybe go there and fill the empty space with what you really, really wanted, and then you will know what to do with that space that got filled with something you didn't want. Sometimes we just have to move around. I created an inspiration today for Instagram, and because we had a few little technical glitches, as we so frequently do down here, it didn't go out. But that inspiration was, limitations are the only illusion. If you believe in them, you will make them real. Think about it. Not right now, but I want you to take a really decent amount of time in meditation or just swinging on the back porch to think about it. Limitations are the only illusion. Everything else is an opportunity. I'm really serious. The universe is actually extremely predictable and unlimited and infinite and in a constant mode of exchange. I'm not in front of the journal that Albert Einstein wrote, so this will not be a perfect quote, but it's a pretty close approximation. He said, "I wish I had been a businessman in addition to a scientist, because I would have loved it. There is no difference. It's all about exchange, from the smallest particle to the way the galaxies work, to the way nature works and human economy works. It's just about exchange." That's it. So he saw that there were no limitations, really. You know, we think, okay, I've got this car, I've got to sell before I can do anything else. Maybe worrying about selling that car is using up your time that you could actually be using for doing something else. And by doing something else, you would meet people that would know how to help you sell that car. You see, we focus on limitations, and because we focus on them, we make them real. And they're actually not. You know, I'm sitting in a room right now, and there's only one reason I have to walk through a door to get out of this room, or open a window and go out a window. There's only one reason, and that is the substance of these walls and windows is a configuration of energy that produces its limitation to define itself for what it is. And then my physical body has a configuration of energy that defines itself for being what it is. And the configuration of energy on my body is not the same thing as the configuration of energy on those walls. So I can't walk through them. You know, I can't just dissolve that energy. But the kinds of technology we saw years ago on Star Trek are actually possible and have already been perfected on the very small particle scale. Yep, it's already there. Beam Me Up Scotty is already in the baby stages of an actual technology. Because everything is reducible to a common flow of energy. And the only thing that makes us different are our limitations. The only thing that makes an oak tree different from a peach tree is that a peach tree can't make acorns and an oak tree can't make peaches. In other words, their limitations are what make them different. Well, what if they didn't believe in their limitations? And actually, some of the strangest things have happened. When we dissolve our belief in limitations, another thing Albert Einstein said is that a miracle is only reality we haven't discovered yet. This universe is infinite and filled with infinite possibilities. We limit ourselves. And why? Because we believe in our limitations. Try this week to disbelieve or unbelieve in at least one limitation you thought you had. And see what happens. Just one. And it doesn't have to be a big one. Just one. Maybe you thought you couldn't part your hair on the other side of your head because you wouldn't look good. Try it. You might find that it exposes something really nice about your face, and then you can wear an earring on that side. I mean, just something simple. Try it. Try disbelieving in some limitation you thought you had. See what happens. Maybe you thought you could never speak another language. Go online. Get a translator app that can translate a simple sentence and that can vocalize it back to you and repeat it until you can say it. Now, that still doesn't mean you're fluent in that language, but you have broken that limited belief. And the more limited beliefs you can break, the more fluid you are to all manner of opportunity. Don't believe in your limitations. You can observe them, of course. And it only makes sense to observe limitations. Right after I had a hip replacement, I observed the limitation that I was not yet ready to drive a car. And that made perfect sense. We hope that everyone that goes to an after five party will observe the limitations of not driving after you've had an alcoholic drink. We hope that they will observe that limitation. We just hope that they will not make it a common practice and then believe they have to have a happy time drink every day, and that has to become a way of life, which then becomes a permanent limitation. Okay? See, there's the difference. There are times when we need to observe limitations. If you've just been diagnosed with diabetes, you're going to have to practice some limitations on the consumption of sugar. But if you do the right thing with all of your diet and you look at your body and you study the chemistry of your body and the dynamics of this metabolic challenge that has been labeled diabetes, you know, here's a good example of what I'm saying that really I hope will hit home. And that is that once we name a disease, we become more agreed to it. I have diabetes. I have heart disease. I have cancer. I have whatever. Once you agree to the label, it reinforces the limitation. So let's just say your doctor comes in and says, well, I'm so sorry, Mary, but you have diabetes. And you say, no, doc, I have a metabolic disorder that I'm going to deal with. Now tell me how I can learn more about this and what do I do about it? Because I don't want to agree to this condition. I'll be respectful for everything you say and tell me to do, but I'm going to do my darn best to climb out of this hole. Okay? You see the difference? You've opened yourself up to blessings, and maybe you won't get an instant miracle cure just because you go home and pray for it. But what will happen is because you went home and prayed for it, you started dissolving the belief, so you don't believe in it. You and God now are working on this. You and God are working on a reality that's not solid at all, that can be moved around. And you'll move it around piece by piece, and you'll study, and you'll learn from people who also don't believe that it has to be a solid wall you can't walk through. So little by little, you're going to have one miracle after another. But you have to be open to this by not believing in your limitations. Okay? See, that's what inhibits the miracle of blessings, is you believing in limitations. And I'll tell you the biggest reason we do. Well, I'm going to tell you three big reasons we do. The biggest is we're afraid to fail. It's usually something really important to us. And we thought if we failed, it would be the end of our life. But at least if we agreed in the limitation, we think we can hold ground there and it won't get any worse. But that's not the way it happens. The second reason is fear. And then our fear gets reinforced by our family members and our friends who say, oh no, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, well I'll help you any way I can. And it's a loving reaction, but it's based on fear. And the third reason is that we really don't have enough knowledge to know how to handle a situation. One of the great things wrong, there's only a few great things that are wrong in the world. All the others are petty that we could overcome with enough faith, enough love, enough help for each other. We could overcome every one of them. There's only a few things that are really wrong in the world. And one of them is that we are suppressing knowledge. And it's a crime. It's a crime that so much knowledge is being suppressed, because we could liberate our world to unimaginable heights of ability. And we could find answers to medical situations. I won't even call them diseases. They're just, because that's an agreement. It's a belief in a flaw. Let's don't believe in flaws. Believing in a flaw is like judging something and then putting concrete on top of that. So we do have medical situations. We have physical, biological situations that we have to look at. And why? Why? Because as we go through life, things change. Our bodies change. And we run through other situations in life that are not medical. Maybe they're stress-filled about family or work. and we haven't handled those creatively either. And so it all piles up and comes back on our body. And we think, oh, dear God, if I could just have a miracle to solve this physical problem, then I would have the energy to go out and solve all the others. But my friends, the reason you have that problem in the first place is because you didn't handle all the others and they piled up on you. We all tend to be martyrs. We do. Whether you know it or not, whether you intend to or not, you're really putting yourself at the service of others. And it's a loving thing that you were created to do. You're all more loving than you know you are. Everybody, I think, is more loving. I look around. I just go shopping at the grocery store or the mall. I look around and I think, oh my gosh, how loving all of these people are. And they don't even know it. To be there in that job and be friendly to everybody every day, trying to provide services with a smile. How loving they are. You know? And I try to reflect that back to them, and usually I get just a phenomenal response and surprise. Like, why would you ever say that about me? And I said, because it's true. You must be an amazingly loving person to be here doing that every day. And they just start smiling and moving with a little more energy. We all are basically loving people. We just get grumpy and frustrated. And when we don't have the answers, we start blaming each other. That's also just typically human. But what's the answer? Well, like I said, there are really three things that cause us to go into agreement. Is we don't have enough knowledge to really, really understand the real problem. So I would suggest you take advantage of one of the really, really good things about the internet. There's a lot of junk there too. Junk is probably the best word. There's a lot of not so good false information, or let's say semi-true information. But you don't have to read very far to tell if it's junk or not. And take a look at the source. See if it's a good source. But everybody can get the equivalent of a college education by just devoting 20 minutes a day to studying some subject of interest to you that you really feel you need to know. 20 minutes a day could change your life. Okay. And then don't invite negative agreements into your life, because that just makes it all much the worse. Then be careful how you define your problems. Don't make them something that is carved in granite. Everything changes. And every problem has an expiration date. It really does. Now, it could be a long time away, but it could be a short time away, depending upon how fluid you allow that problem to be. So, I guess I had a lot to say today. And I just really, really wanted everyone to be in a state of receiving the blessings of Christ for whatever you need, whatever you want. And don't limit it just to what's hurting, because what's hurting is probably the long end result of other things you may have neglected for a long time. You know, I'm having to do a lot of recovery work on my yard because I neglected it after the storm 2 years ago, because my attention had to go on other things. We do that because we have to have priorities, and other things get neglected, and then after they've been neglected long enough, they become pretty bad too. So let's just be open to change, open to growth, open to dissolving the crud around everything. And let's see where it takes us. Now I'm turning the floor over to our callers. Jerome, you're on.
Hello.
Hello, Jerome.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you are, and I'll be open and learning for my children, Paul and his wife, and Joan and Tom, and Andrew, who walked down the street a couple of days ago, and he got a job. So,
oh, my gosh. Wow.
It was just 2 blocks from where he's living, and he needed a job, and Spirit just got him a great job. So I'm just so great for everything you do and are, and for the Christ Spirit that you've been, and thank you for helping all of us, because I thank you, and I love you, and I just am so grateful that you're helping all of us. So,
oh, you are so welcome, Jerome. Thank you for your smiling voice.
Okay.
And I see that, Tony, you're on the call. Welcome.
Hi, Glenda. This is actually Judy. Tony's on the
call. Hi, Judy.
But I just wanted to give thanks. Yesterday, James took a big leap and jumped out of an airplane and made it successfully.
Wow.
Mom didn't pass out, so that was good.
Wow.
I put some angel oils on him, and I gave him my prayer bracelet, and he had a blast. He said he knew he was protected because of everything he's been through, so that was neat. And then I also wanted to ask, my sister had stage 4 cancer a couple years ago, and some of her tests are coming in where it looks like something's happening, but just like you were saying, we have alternative things that we're doing, and I keep telling her it can't be that, so you just keep going back to your social diet or keep doing those alternative things times two, and my mom, I think, is having a harder time with it, but it's like, no, they don't know that's what it is, and it could be
no,
everything.
Just don't put a label on it. Don't put a label on
so
it.
So much before that it's, there's no way she's going to be fine, but we're just keeping her in our thoughts.
Yeah. Prayers. Yeah, you keep your attention. Anytime there's a problem, my friends, keep your attention on it. Bless it. Nurture it to the degree that you can. Get as much knowledge as you can about it so that you can open yourself up to different ways of handling it, better ways of handling it, okay? Do not invite negative agreement.
Exactly.
And don't put labels on it. Because that leaves it open to change. Yeah. Okay. Blessings to you and Tony. And I see that Nancy and Gary are on the phone. Welcome.
Hi, it's Nancy and Gary here.
Hey, and how's the family?
Everybody's good, except we got a call from Jana yesterday, and her mother-in-law's dad in San Antonio was T-boned by a car, and then he... Yeah, and bad things happened to his spine and his neck. Anyway, they weren't going to do anything, but then he blinked, did all the questions with like answer yes, and he decided to have a surgery. And so they did surgery last night at 5, and it went till 4 this morning, and 11-hour surgery. And so anyway, we just want to have some blessings and prayers for him for a full recovery, because they're not sure if he'll be a quadriplegic or what's going on. And it's kind of like they described it like a decapitated from the inside of his body. Like a fish mouth at the top of the spine where the neck meets. So, you know, he's a wonderful, vibrant man in his 70s. His name is Robert Garza. And we just adore him. He's a wonderful man. And everybody's just hoping for the best.
Oh, yes. And actually, just so everybody else knows, we're making extreme advances in neuroscience. And we used to think that nerve cells could not be healed. much less they could not be reproduced. Now we not only know they can be healed, they can be reduced, and new ones can grow. So I would say that's actually probably the area of medicine or scientific research on the body that is in the highest growth curve right now. At one point, it was cardiology that was in the highest growth curve. And, you know, it changed the lives of so many, millions of people, really, because of what was discovered, about cardiology situations. Okay. Now the growth curve, the most advanced growth curve with the most advanced thinking is going into neuroscience. So there, even in addition to goodwill and God, there's science on his side.
Good. Yes. We believe that.
Yeah. So just hold the faith.
And I do want to just add to everything you said, which was fantastic today. We just reread the pathway, belief pathway to attainment this morning from the Keys of Yeshua. And I would read that coupled with the chapter about the soul's eternal light in your book, The Way to a Greater Life. Boy, it's like the roadmap. You know?
And they really do go together, don't they?
Well, they just provide a lot of answers and keys for sure.
Yeah, they do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And while we're on the subject of books, we're really looking forward to getting our Love Without End books, the 20th anniversary. It's a big year for us. And it's really a big year for me thinking back over how much has been accomplished in 20 years. Oh my gosh, where I was then compared to where I am now, what I know now compared to what I knew then. Someone wrote me an email that I think the rest of you might benefit a little bit by hearing. She said, Glenda, I really would like to have the 20th anniversary book, but I'm wondering, is it really that much better than the first book that had an index? And she said, I have every book you published in between. I bought them all. So she said, I kept up with everything you did. So with all of them I've got, and with the first one with an index, do I really need this book? Well, my answer is this. Our new index is twice as thorough. It's 25 pages long. It's twice as thorough as the original index. That was really pretty short, pretty brief. And the first book that had the index in it didn't have the remaining 87 pages of dialogue with Yeshua. That was added in 2006 with the expanded world edition. So this has everything that's ever been published from the conversations. It doesn't have everything from my personal original story, because I really felt that belonged in a book of its own, because that was about me. And I thought Love Without End needed to be about him. So the 20th century edition, 20th anniversary edition, has every one of our conversations, our original conversations, and a 25-page index. And Nancy and Gary helped to proofread and expand on that index, which they did a beautiful job of, because they ran study groups for, what was it, about 10 years, Nancy?
Ten years.
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
If there's anybody that knows the book better than me, it would be Nancy and Gary.
I don't see how you can have too many copies or too many editions, you know?
Well, this is going to be, if you only want to have one book, this is it. But
right.
I recommend all of you that you save your books, because they're becoming collectibles. I check in on eBay every now and then, and sometimes I see one selling for $200. I'm serious. They're very, very scarce. And people become attached to the first edition they ever read. They like it, and they want another one like that. So they're very special. They're very scarce. And this one is going to be very scarce because there will only be 500 signed and numbered copies. Then we're going to go to the regular 2019 edition. So this will be special. And let's see, what else was I going to say?
Do you have a timeline or no?
The timeline is when the 500 sell out, which could be pretty soon.
Oh,
so
we can order
guys,
already. How did I miss that? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's already up for pre-sale. And
okay.
we've already sold over 200.
Okay. Well, we'll get on that.
So people are stocking up on them because they want to use them for Christmas presents, birthday presents, whatever. Or a group study so that everybody's on the same page. And while I'm at it, I do want to apologize that all the books in between, the first and the last book, did not have an index. But that's because the pages kept changing. And they would have been doing a brand new index every time. And we just couldn't afford, we just couldn't afford to do it. And we knew that it was going to keep changing. Now we know we've got the forever book. There will be more books from Yeshua. There will be more books, but Love Without End is now in its forever production. This is it. And the simple thing is, most people don't realize, but you change the font style of a book or the font size of a book. You don't have to change a single thing in it. But the whole page flow could change by 4, 5, or even 10 pages. And then the index doesn't work. So we had to find the perfect font that we loved, that we thought was the most readable, and the perfect format that we thought was the most readable and the most useful, and then we go with it. And that's it. So and the books are selling, really. You can either just go to inspiredorigination.com, and there's a link on the homepage, right on the homepage, where you can go straight to the book. We made it super easy for people to find. And it will be in the newsletter every week until they're gone. Okay? So I think, I tell you what, I don't want to keep anyone from asking for a blessing. So now I'm going to open the line of three new callers, but only just ask for a blessing, okay? So we can get on with it. Area code 804, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Brad Nelson.
Hi, Brad.
I wanted to comment on two calls that were made last week and ask for a blessing from them. Last week, someone was talking about his sister who lost his sense of smell, and it was a long story. And then a little part of it was just brushed over, and it was like, and I don't mean to be projecting something onto him. I really don't. But it sounds like just a tiny part of him still felt guilty, even though he, as an adult, he knew that didn't make sense. And it made me cry, actually, because I feel like all of us are still children inside, and a lot of us have guilts that we carry that we don't even know about or remember, or maybe we push them aside. And then another thing that I would like you to bless is another caller was talking about an irritation she had, and my phone kept disconnecting several times, so I don't know if I heard the whole thing, but you expressed something about, well, sometimes you have to let petty things go. And I understand that when you're aware that it's petty, even when it gets totally under your skin, you're just like, I got to get over it. But sometimes you have things that you don't remember that, like, my father died several months ago, and I've forgiven him for everything unpleasant that I remember. But then occasionally I have a spontaneous memory, and I'm mad all over again. And, you know, I've already forgiven him, but I don't want to, you know, I want it to be thorough. And I was hoping you could just bless those two situations for me and everyone.
Okay. That's a great request. That's a great request. The fact is there is great depth to our being. Our waters run deep. And,
yes.
And we forget about things that happened years ago because we confuse forgetfulness with forgiveness. And we think because we've forgotten that we've forgiven.
Hmm.
But sometimes we have to just look back and say, it hurt, but it's okay. It's okay. I got over it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get over everything, as Yeshua demonstrated. We can get over death, even.
Yes.
And he wept also.
Yes.
But he got over the hurt. Thank you, Brad. That was a very, very good request. And I'm going to take it. I really need to move on fast because we've got a wireless caller from area code 413. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's June in Massachusetts.
June, hi.
Hi. I'm deeply impressed by all the love and the faith and all the callers and your conversations that I've heard, and that was beautiful what this man just said, and kind of answered a lot of what I've been, you know, was going to ask. I just would like a blessing for my friend Arlene and for myself, and I did have the surprise of getting a cat.
Okay.
It came to me. And a wedding cat. My sister was
a wedding cat. Okay.
I never heard the phrase, and they were given a cat. They have three dogs, and they weren't able to keep it. So now I have the cat. So. And all your beautiful stories of your cat, your Rama, and the other cat. So I just have a new cat.
Yes.
Getting adjusted. So.
They are amazing. Yes, June, we will. We will remember them all in our blessing. And the important thing for all of you is hold in your heart the ones that you want to receive blessings. You are receiving blessings for them. Just remember that.
Okay. Okay.
There is no. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And we have a caller. Yeah. Yes. We have a caller from area code 719. What would you like to have blessed?
Hi, Glenda. This is Laurie Kim from Colorado, and hello, everyone. I would like to request a blessing for my small group leader at church and her daughter. Her name is Ashley Steele, and her daughter's name is Aspen Heidekruger.
Okay.
And Aspen had intestinal surgery for some blockages and adhesions on Monday, and she still isn't tolerating any foods, and she's in a lot of pain. So a blessing, please, for her quick recovery and for the struggle that she's going through mentally as well. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Okay, absolutely. I've got her in my heart and on my list. And you hold
Thanks.
Her in your heart. Okay?
I sure will.
And Stormy, I see you're on. And let's just let you bless us with angels, okay?
Yes. I want to mention how I have called myself an ambassador of the universe.
Oh, yes, and, you are.
And bring that blessing of the universe to all of us here on this earth.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, and we feel blessed to have you among us, Stormy. I'm going to take one last call. I think it's Linda from New Zealand. Linda, is that you? Linda, are you there? You may need to unmute your phone.
Yeah, I was on mute. Quickly, blessings. My best friend's son has had a bad relapse into somewhat of a bad condition, medical condition. So please put Alex on the list. And secondly, Denise, our other blessing giver in Australia, who always has great fortitude for fostering children. So blessings for her strength and blessings for her children. Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Okay. Great. It's lovely to hear from all around the world. Stormy, you bring us all around the universe, and Linda, you help bring us all around the world. And I can see we have some callers from Canada, and that's great, and a caller or two from Hawaii, that's great. So I love that we are reaching so far, because it just, well, it's going to go around the world anyway, but when we have anchor points, it helps it focus in. Now, everybody, just continue being in your heart. Breathe deeply. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua as you get into your comfort and relaxation zone, just being the love that you are. Then you will start your prayer being in that state of love. Yeshua, I am so thankful that I can know without any uncertainty at all that you are here, and to know with all the certainty of my heart that you bring your love and your blessings to each one of us. I pray that you would help everyone on this call to feel your presence and to receive your love. I pray that you would be with those who are alone and sick, in pain and confused. I know you don't need my request to do that, because you are anyway, but I confirm how much we appreciate that by asking for it. Just as you taught us, ask and you shall receive. We have learned that by asking, we open ourselves up more to receive. And so, following my prayer of thanksgiving to you, many will be asking for your blessing. And it thrills my heart to know that you will be giving. You are the light of the world. You are the one we turn to when we see no love around us. We turn to you and we find your love. You are the one who brings us answers when we need them. You are the one that directs us to solutions when we can't find them. And we thank you. We thank you for being with us here today and always. Amen. Let us begin. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest. And take this into your, the deepest level of your being. I wish you a wonderful week. Bye-bye for now.